Votemos por Hillary el 5 de febrero y tendremos una vida mejor.
Estamos contigo.
We're with you. That's the message from the Latino supporters in Hillary Clinton's new 30-second campaign spot called Nuestra Amiga. That's our friend in Spanish. The presidential candidate is hoping her Latino support, which includes the endorsements of heavyweights like Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa, former Clinton cabinet member Henry Cisneros, who was also the mayor of San Antonio, Texas, and New Jersey Senator Robert Menendez, will carry her in delegate-heavy swing states on Super Tuesday, places where Latinos make up about 10% of the electorate. So in Super Tuesday states like Arizona, California, Colorado, and New Mexico, the candidates in their camps are dusting off the old eighth-grade Spanish to try to woo the Latino vote.
Soy Craig Romney, y les invito a conocer mejor a mi padre.
Soy Barack Obama, y yo apruebo este mensaje.
With TV pitches like these running on Spanish language channels, bilingual phone banks, and neighborhood canvassers, the candidates are campaigning hard to win over this crucial and growing demographic. Joining us now is Maria Teresa Peterson, founding executive director of Voto Latino, a nonprofit, nonpartisan group for Latino voter outreach. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for being with us. We appreciate it. To what degree do the ads like the ones we just heard, you know, or Obama's Si Se Puede chant, a la Cesar Chavez, resonate, do you think, among Latino voters?
Well, I think it's really curious. What we're finding, Pew came out with a study in 2007 trying to identify what language Latino voters consume in. And they came out with a study finding that 79% of Latinos consume their language in English when it comes to deciding a voter. So when you see a lot of individuals pouring tons of money into Spanish-specific ads, they're really touching only 21% of the electorate.
Do you think that there's a risk among Latino voters who consume their news in English that the candidates who try to express themselves in Spanish are patronizing?
Do you think absolutely.
There could be backlash against these Spanish language ads.
Well, I think it's more of not backlash, but I think it's more of the Latino community kind of rolling their eyes and saying, come on, get with the program.
Right.
In Nevada, Hillary Clinton won a huge percentage of the Latino vote, 64%. Barack Obama got 26%. In Florida, Hillary won by about a 2-to-1 margin among Latinos. How do you explain Hillary Clinton's, at least to this moment, Hillary Clinton's dominance among Latino voters?
Well, but I think what you need to do is two things. One, in Nevada, she's been campaigning there for a couple of years, long before Barack. So when you had the culinary workers endorse him, he just really didn't have an on-the-ground troop operation ready to go and disseminate the message. Now, in Florida, it's been interesting because they've come out with a study that basically demarks there's a generational gap in the supporters for Hillary Clinton. Individuals in the Latino community are very much over 40 going over for Hillary Clinton. Folks under 30 are going for Barack. And the reason why it's significant is that the Latino community, of the 46 million people living here, 18 million are eligible voters, and exactly 50% of them are under 40, and 35% of them are between 18 to 29. So it's an interesting dynamic.
And so this presumed death grip that Hillary Clinton has on Latino voters is not necessarily there. There's been a lot of, in my observation, the phenomenon of the Latino swing vote is relatively new, and in mainstream media reporting about it, there is a presumption, or at least a theory that's often posited, that Latino voters are not inclined to vote for an African-American candidate. What you've just said debunks that somewhat, that it's more generational than it is ethnic. Is there validity to that point of view in the mainstream media?
No, and I think that's I don't even think it's mainstream media. I think that's coming out of the political camps, and I think there's a danger in that because they're trying to incite, you know, racial tension when there really isn't. And by doing so, you incite racial tension that will be long-lasting, longer than November 4th. I mean, perfect example, you know, Rangel, in his seat, he has a large portion of Latinos that vote for him year after year.
Well, yeah, that was interesting last night in the debate. Somebody actually wrote in a question asking Barack Obama about, illegal immigration having an adverse impact on African-American jobs. And he said, wait a minute, this is just, let's not go there, was sort of his answer, the subtext of his answers. Let's not start pitting people against people.
Absolutely. And I think that's where the danger is. And I think that, and he's right on the money. You don't want to do that, especially when there's not a history of that actually being the case. especially when it comes to individuals electing African Americans in areas where there's a strong Latino presence.
Well, one example I can cite would have been the election of Tom Bradley, mayor of Los Angeles, who won Latino voters 10-1 in a famous race 30 years ago. The issue of immigration, what are the key tenets of immigration policy among Latino voters? What are the things which concern Latino voters in terms of that policy, and which positions would you say would likely draw the support of the most Latinos?
Again, I think what happens with the immigration policy is it's a catalyst for Latinos to basically awaken to this whole notion of somewhere along the line, being an immigrant, being Latino, has been equivocated with being un-American. And while I think immigration policy is definitely an important issue for the Latino community, it's just a catalyst for them to say, you know what, we've been in this country for, some of us, we're first generation, some of us, we've been here for hundreds of years. It's time that we start equivocating being undocumented with being, being an immigrant and really looking at other issues where folks can move us. And the example I cite is in 2006, we had immigration rallies all over the country, the biggest ones being in New York, Florida, Texas, Illinois, and California. Come the general election, only two states actually had an uptick in voter turnout among the Latino community, and that was Illinois and California. What happened in New York, where you had the largest immigration rallies? What happened to the woman in New York that marched but decided, you know what, you still don't get me, I'm still not going to the polls to vote?
Huh. Maria Teresa Peterson is the founding executive director of Voto Latino. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. It's been fun. Have a good day, you guys.
You too. Bye-bye. Hey, next up on the Bryant Park Project, we'll hear some Super Bowl spin from Will Leach. Some dead spin, you might say.
We're going to boil down about 8 hours of Super Bowl pregame into about 6 minutes.
This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.